Hi and welcome. I am so pleased with today's guest. You are absolutely going to love our guest today. It's Dr. Joe Vitale, who is the author of way too many best-selling books to mention. Some include The Attractor Factor, Life's Missing Instruction Manual, The Key, Faith, Attract Money Now, and his latest is a sequel to the bestseller Zero Limits, which officially launched in January 2014, entitled At Zero. And stay tuned. I think it's really coming up soon. His soon-to-be-released book, The Secret Prayer. He's also recorded many Nightingale Conan audio programs, and he has been in several movies, including the blockbuster The Secret. He's been on Larry King Live, Donnie Deutsch's The Big Idea, CNN, CNBC, CBS, ABC, Fox News, Fox and Friends, and Extra TV. He's also been featured in The New York Times and Newsweek. One of his most recent accomplishments includes being the world's first self-help singer-songwriter, as seen in 2012's Rolling Stone magazine. To date, he's released 12 albums, and several of his songs were recognized and nominated for the Posse Award, which is regarded as the Grammys of positive music. He also has created a miracles coaching program and helps people achieve their dreams by understanding the deeper aspects of the law of attraction and the law of right action. This man, who was once homeless, but today is a best-selling author who believes in magic and miracles. I love that. For more information on Dr. Joe Vitale, go to MrFire.com. Wow, Dr. Joe Vitale, what a resume.
Well, thank you very much. It's always good to be reminded of what you've done, because I just keep producing and creating and having a blast, and I don't usually stop to reflect on all the books I've written or the music or movies I've been in. So when you're telling my bio, I'm kind of sitting here going, wow, I did all that?
Yeah. And isn't it nice to be reminded so you can see where you were and where you are now?
We probably all need to pause and reflect on our successes, big and small, because they all count and they all make us who we are today.
Oh, amen to that. I totally believe in that. So Joe, you went from being homeless to where you are now.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, it's a remarkable story.
Well, I used to not talk about it because it was embarrassing. It was traumatic. It was depressing. But I have since learned that it inspires people, because if they hear that Joe is a best-selling author today and, you know, going on all these different shows and coming out with different movies and books and blah, blah, blah. Yet at one time I was homeless, it gives the listeners hope.
Yes.
And that's why I go ahead and say it and talk about it a little bit. But I was homeless, literally on the streets in Dallas, Texas, way back in the late 1970s. And people would often say, what kind of car did you live in? And I would pause and think, wow, it would have been so great to have a car. I didn't have any of that. And I was alone and I was desperate. And of course, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have a lot of things that we take for granted today. And I didn't have that many resources, so there weren't family, friends, or that many people to call on. And I remember hibernating and hiding in the Dallas Public Library. I wasn't used to the scorching Texas weather, and I remember those August months where it was a lot safer to be in an air-conditioned library than to be on the streets. And also, I've always been a book addict anyway, so being in the library was a little bit like heaven. I'm hiding from the elements and other people, but I'm also there with all these free books. And it's those free books that I read and devoured and contemplated that really began to change me. It wasn't an overnight thing, but I didn't have, again, a coach. I didn't have shows like this. We didn't have the internet and all the wonderful things that we receive for free. So I was pretty much doing it. I was literally doing it on my own. But I managed to get off the streets. I was in poverty for several years. Those were truly struggle years, and I have some regrets there because I wish it had been easier. But everything we do, everything we experience is a learning experience, and that's what I was going through. I was learning, I was growing, I was developing, and I kept believing in myself, believing in tomorrow, continuously taking action, and always trying to find that, you know, the pony in the room or the silver lining from the cloud. And son of a gun, that's all true. There is the silver lining. There is a pony in the room. You just got to keep at it. You just got to keep looking and working. And, you know, that's the short story. That's what I did. And obviously today I live the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and I'm having a blast. I travel all over the world. I just came back from Kuwait, which who in the world would have thought I ever would have gone there?
Yeah.
And was treated like a royalty and a mega star. I have about 5 new books out within the next week and more music coming out. I recreated myself as a musician. I now have 15 albums out, which I'm saying theatrically because I'm as impressed as anybody. It's like, my word. This is how life works. You state an intention. I wanted to be a musician at the age of 57. And then you start taking action and you start clearing all the beliefs that are in the way of you having success. And when you keep doing that, you turn around and go, wow, I did it. In less than 4 years, I've had noteworthy success as a musician, which is pretty amazing. There's 3,000 new albums out every week for somebody starting out in music like me. And they just kind of crack through that. That's miraculous.
It is. And I love, Joe, I really appreciate so much that you are willing to share the truth, your truth of where you were as to where you are now, because it does give people hope. I also love that you're unapologetic about you live the lifestyle of the rich and famous.
Right.
Well, you know, a lot of people who are at that level sometimes are apologetic about it. But I think by you being unapologetic, it gives the listeners permission to say, oh, I'm not happy with where I am. Well, if he can do that, I can too. How do I do it?
And that's the whole point. I think that's why I say it. And there's probably a hidden belief there. If anybody feels like they have to apologize for success, there's some hidden programming about what they think success is. Maybe they feel they don't deserve it. Maybe they feel like they're getting more than somebody else. But all of that that's programming. That's lack. That's limitation. That's not a healthy mindset. I think that we should all be going for our dreams, as unique as they are for each person. Not everybody wants to be a musician. Not everybody wants to be an author. Being the best mother, having the best cookbook, opening a bakery, I don't know. It's different for each person. But that's what we're supposed to do. Follow your unique passion. Don't have to apologize to anybody for it, because it's your life mission. It's your calling, and it's unique to you. That's all I'm doing, and I'm hoping that by saying this, expressing this, and being a little bold about it, that it actually ignites a fire in listeners, and they think, I can do this, or I want to do this too, without apology, without regret, just going for it because you want to.
So, Joe, what are like some first steps that somebody could take if they are in this really stuck, wounded place and they want to get that fire going? What would you recommend?
That's a great question. And boy, I can go in so many different ways. But I think I would fall back on the idea that you need to choose what you want. So I would advise people to state an intention. Yes, they may be in a place that's a bit of a struggle. They may be in a place where there's some wound, as you say. But that's only current reality. And as I said in my book, The Attractor Factor, current reality can change. You can help it along. The nature of life itself is going to cause all of us to change, because life is movement and everything is moving along and growing and evolving. But you can speed it up and you can direct it with intention. And a lot of neuroscience and neuroplasticity and the studies of the brain and how the mind works is showing that your brain, your mind demands intentions. If you don't give it something to work on, it's going to go into a default mode, and it's going to operate on all the old programming. And for most of us, that's lack and limitation.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people, take a deep breath and be honest with yourself. What do you want to have in your life? What do you want to have, do, or be? Because all the change begins with that decision. Based on honesty, based on integrity, based on the belief that you can do it. And I don't know anybody that can't do it. Anybody listening to this can do it. We may have some work to do, but it begins with that first step. What do you want? What do you prefer? What would you rather have?
All right, so let me see if I can deconstruct this a little bit, Joe. If someone is like at the poverty level, and you say, okay, what do you really want? And they say, well, I want $1 million. Aren't they going to rub up against those really deep limiting beliefs like, I can't get there?
Yep, they sure are. because they are exaggerating their desire and going past what they believe is comfortable and possible for them. And this is why I say we have to be honest with ourselves. I think everybody's entitled to have $1 million or more. But depending where you are, if you are in a poverty level or you are barely making the bills come through, it might be an unbelievable stretch to think about attracting $1 million. And so we don't want to break the bank, so to speak, and we don't want to break our mindset, so to speak. What we want to do is go for what we think is possible, but still a stretch for us. And for somebody, that might mean coming up with $500 by the weekend is possible, but a stretch. Coming up with $1 million by the weekend is probably going to seem like that is absolutely impossible and not even a stretch because it seems preposterous. So we want to come from the existing mindset of what we think is possible, but by stretching the mindset to enlarge it. And this is an important premise because even in my life today, I'm constantly stretching. I may be in a place where somebody could say, well, you're comfortable, you don't have to do anything else, but that's not how I live my life. I think we're all here to grow, we're all here to stretch, or we begin to decay, we begin to die on an internal level. So wherever anybody is right now, we want to stretch a bit. We don't want to make it feel like, oh, that's impossible, that'll never happen, that's crazy. But we want it to feel like, yeah, I don't know how I can do it, but it is within the realm of possibility. That's where they begin to stretch their current beliefs into something that's more empowering for them. That'll also enable them to take action. A lot of reason people don't take action is they created a big, hairy goal that they can't get their head around, let alone take the first steps, because it just seems overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So if it feels like it's something doable, and what they have to do is make phone calls or read a book or attend a seminar or go to a small business administration or go to a bank or any number of things, they'll do it. But if it's overwhelming, they won't do it.
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
On a stretch, but we want to be excited and a little nervous with our stretching.
Well, and that vibration is really important too, right?
Absolutely. That's a key importance because what we're attracting is based on our inner vibration. And if people are coming from a place of desperation, for example, son of a gun, their mind is going to attract more desperation scenarios. This is what was going on with me when I was homeless and even during the poverty years, because I felt desperate most of the time. I was stuck in survival. And when you're stuck in survival, your paradigm, the way of seeing the world, your mindset looks around out there and you don't see abundance. You see fear. You see scarcity. You see limitation. And it keeps you in that feeling of desperation. So we want to start to step out of that. We want to start looking around and go, you know what? I'm alive. And that is $1 million right there. I won the lotto of life in terms of I am a living, breathing person. And from that place of gratitude, we want to extend it to say what we're grateful for. Maybe you got a part-time job. Maybe you ate today. Maybe you know that there is money coming from some source. But what we want to do is get out of survival and start to vibrate at that higher level of trust, of faith, of belief in ourselves and hope in the future. So yes, the vibration is crucial.
Excellent, Joe. I love that what you just said. I really love how you talked about that gratitude for what might seem like, oh, well, that's inconsequential, because I think that I have found a lot of times people are, oh, well, you know, they're looking at what they're lacking and not grateful for the simplicity of, wow, I got to eat today.
Yeah. Well, this is a topic I talk about a lot because I think the single most powerful thing that anybody can do, and they can do it right now without paying anybody anything, it's the most transformative thing they can do, is to sincerely feel gratitude for where they are in their life. And depending on where they are, that might be a big step. They might have to swallow and really go, what am I grateful for? And we got to expand our mind to realize that the planet itself is giving us this life of maintenance. We're getting oxygen without paying for it. It's raining when we need water. We're not paying for it. gravity is keeping us from floating off into outer space, and we're not paying for it. There is so much that is going on just around us from the elements. And then when you look at your own human body, my heart, I'm 61 and a half years old today. My heart is strong. My body is strong. I worked out this morning. I felt like I could lift cars when I was doing the strength training. And I'm thinking, my goodness, my body is a $1 million machine. And that's putting a low price tag on it. All of us have these machines, these bodies that are operating without doing much more than feeding it and bathing it and watering it. And it's things like that, that when you focus on it, you go, life is this glorious miracle. And then when you move your consciousness into one of gratitude, you realize that you are living the lottery of life. You are living in a non-monetary way, something you can't put any money or price tag on. From that place, you can start to expand and feel even more gratitude. And funny thing happens, that changes your inner vibration, and suddenly you can have, do, or be more of the things you dreamed about because you're beginning from a high vibe place of gratitude, which attracts more to be grateful for.
I love it, Joe. I absolutely love it because I can tell you, you know, I told you, I am loving life. I am happier than I've ever been in my life. And it all started with that gratitude of before I get out of bed in the morning, I go through in my mind, I'm grateful I have a nice, comfortable bed. I'm grateful I have a home. I'm grateful for my physical body. I'm grateful for my family, my kids. And I have found personally exactly what you're just talking about, that as you start with that gratitude, it increases. So I wanted to share that part. So if somebody's listening to you and going, you know, well, I don't know if I can do that. If you just start with those little things, it does build on itself.
And it absolutely does. And I know where people are coming from because I used to go to all the free lectures when I was still struggling. And they would talk about gratitude. And I'd think to myself, yeah, I'll be grateful when I have something to be grateful for.
Right.
And that was the wrong attitude, because that attitude of skepticism and doubt and even anger is pushing away all my good and attracting more of the things that would reinforce my feeling skeptical and doubtful and unhappy and even angry.
Exactly.
When I started to change and just look around and go, well, can I be grateful for my desk or my phone or my pen? And just took it on a very simple level and honestly said to myself, yeah, if I didn't have my phone, I wouldn't be able to communicate with a lot of people. I mean, this again was before the internet. I wouldn't be able to search for a job or maintain one or call an emergency if I needed help or call a loved one. I mean, there's so much to be grateful for, and we need to do it first. It's not where you wait for something to happen to be grateful. You be grateful now for whatever is in your within reach. And from there, all of the future moments begin to change. But it starts now.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm loving this conversation, Joe. In your book, Attract Money Now, your 7-step formula, you talk about how the rich think differently than other people regarding money. What is that about?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. I've done a lot of work about wealth and how to attract money because I really want to help people understand it and implement these different steps. And the first thing to realize is that most people have a very bad attitude towards money, and I did too. And I can prove it right now because I can just begin a sentence and everybody is going to finish it in their head. Money is the root of all, and everybody just said evil.
Right.
Money is the root of all evil. Well, when you think about this, if you're trying to attract money consciously, and you're doing all the right stuff, you're affirming and you're relaxing and you're scripting and meditating and visualizing, you're doing all the right stuff to attract money on a conscious level. On an unconscious level, if you think it's bad for you, you're not going to really allow it. You're going to sabotage yourself and you won't even know it. You'll blame other people. You'll blame the economy. You'll blame the banks. You'll blame the president. You'll blame your family upbringing. And you'll never realize that it's because of your own belief about money. So one of the things that wealthy people realize is that money in and of itself is nothing. It is not evil. It's not bad. And it's not bad for you. Money is a tool. one of my favorite quotes is from Donald Trump, because most people think he's a big egotist and a money grubber. And what he's said many times is that he doesn't really care about the money. His passion is deal making. And how he knows if he has a successful deal is if he's made money. And then I remember Walt Disney making movies, another wealthy person. And Walt Disney said he wanted to make money from his movies so he can continue making movies. And I thought, wow, how pure of an intent is that? It's not about the money for him. It's about the movies. It's not about the money for Trump. It's about the deal making. So wealthy people use money. It's a tool for them. Most of the people that struggle with money not only have a bad attitude about money, thinking it's bad for them or it's evil for them, but they projected things onto it. They think it's going to be their salvation. They think it's going to be their survival. And all of those, again, are low vibration energies that are actually going to push money away. I've often told people, have you ever realized that you seem to be able to make your bills? You may struggle to make your bills, but you make them, but you have a very hard time going past them and getting into a place where you thrive and prosper. And that's because of the unconscious belief that money's bad for you, and you think it's a necessary evil in order to survive. When people realize, like wealthy people, that money is not about survival, money is actually about fulfilling your dreams with a tool that can help you do that, then you're free to allow money to come into your life, and you can be a steward for money. You can aim it wherever you want. If you want money to go to Africa or to a school system or to a cause you believe in, you can be a steward for money, and you can send it where it needs to go, because money is not the root of all evil. That biblical quote is actually from a longer quote that says the love of money is the root of all evil. And as I've been pointing out, wealthy people aren't necessarily in love with money. Certainly you'll find exceptions and some people are obsessed with it. But what we're saying here is that you want to love money as a tool. It gives you freedom. It's an energy that can actually be used as leverage to help you have, do, or be what you want. It's a good thing. It's even a spiritual thing. And when you make peace with money, son of a gun, money will come to you. I've often said, money doesn't have any beliefs about you. You have beliefs about money.
Yes. Yes. I really hope our listeners are getting this, Joe, because this is really gold. This is absolute gold. If people take this in and start just shifting that little bit, they're going to see those doors just wide open to them.
And I totally agree. But it all begins here. We start wherever we are sitting. Where our shoes are is where we start moving. And it's true for everybody. So if they're hearing these kind of concepts for the first time, I think they should be grateful that they're hearing them at all.
Yes.
Because the public out there doesn't have this kind of a conversation. You know, what you're offering to people in this conversation and dialogue you and I are having is pretty priceless. Because if you look at the mainstream news, which I urge people not to, but if you do look at it, it is all about lack, fear, limitation, scarcity. And it's called programming for a reason. It's trying to program you to be in fear. Mm-hmm. And then it can manipulate you with the ads and so forth it's having. So what I teach and what you're doing here and we're doing together is helping people break free. And if they can break free with money, which is happening now by understanding money is actually a useful force, then they can allow more power into their life and more joy into their life. And they can make a difference in their life, in their family and friends and causes they believe in.
Yes. Oh, Joe, I just am loving this conversation because it is, you're speaking right to my heart. And I really hope that if somebody's hearing this for the first time, they go back and listen to it again.
Yes.
I really hope that you'll go back and listen to this again, because when you were talking about the news, which I swore off a couple of years ago, I used to be a news junkie, and then I realized what it was doing to me and what it was doing to my family. And I was like, okay, this is not good. But when you said that, I was reminded of that John Mayer song where he says, because when they own the information, they can bend it all they want.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's such truth in that.
And most of the information is being fed to us in a very distorted way. And it's interesting that the mainstream news, if they can't find something bad that happened today, they'll rerun bad news items from last year or even years ago. So we don't want to pay attention to that. There's plenty of positive media, positive books, positive audio, positive movies, positive TV shows that we can watch to feed ourselves the nourishment that we want spiritually and more.
Well, and that I think really leads in beautifully to, you know, my quote that I love from you had in The Secret of, you are the Michelangelo of your own life. The David you are sculpting is you.
Can you
take that a little deeper, Joe? I mean, because that is just beautiful.
Well, the first thing to realize is that that was an entirely ad-lib comment. When I was being filmed for The Secret, I had no idea what the questions were going to be. I didn't know what direction we're going. I knew it would be about the law of attraction because they invited me to be in the movie because of my book, The Attractor Factor. But that's all I knew. And when they asked for some commentary and I spontaneously said the Michelangelo quote that you just read, I thought, well, that really sums it up. Because each of us is sculpting our lives. Most of us don't know it, but we're doing it from the inside out, and we're doing it with our mindset. We're doing it with our beliefs. Our beliefs are creating everything in our life. I've been saying for a long time that we live in a belief-driven universe. Change your belief and you get a different universe. But most people have to wake up to the first step in realizing that they're operating out of unconscious programming. That programming most likely was given to them from birth on up to now. And it came from their parents, who probably weren't enlightened. It came from their media, from the government, from the school system. And all of it, virtually all of it, was designed to keep us in survival. It was fear-based. It wasn't about empowerment. It wasn't about going for your dreams. They taught us how to survive in life. And on one level, that's great. It got us to survive to this moment. But what we really want to do is to create our life from this bed of magic and miracles. I really believe that each of us has a unique mission. It's a life path. It's a calling, if you will. It's a divine assignment. And when we follow it, whatever it is for you and for me and for each person listening, then the whole world begins to work. But what we need to do first is to find out what our programming is. And the best way to do it is just look around and go, what might I be believing to create the life I currently have? And for me, when I was homeless and in poverty, and I would look around and think, wow, I must not believe in abundance for one thing, because I'm looking around and seeing scarcity. And I must not believe that I'm worth great things because I'm looking around and I don't seem to have them. And then I began to realize those are beliefs that are actually sculpting my life. As I realized they were beliefs, they're not facts, they're beliefs. They're mind thoughts that we keep thinking over and over again, which creates a habit, and we live from that habit unconsciously. What we then do is begin to change the beliefs. And there's a little bit of work involved, but we can all do it. We can do it with books. We can do it with friends. We can do it with mastermind. We can do it with coaches. We can do it with shows like this. We can all do it. I'm living proof of it, and I'm not the only one. There's plenty of them out there that are awakening, and everybody listening can now awaken too, just realizing that what you've been doing is sculpting your own life. You are the David. You are the Michelangelo, and you can create it the way you would prefer it by tuning within and starting to awaken.
That is beautiful, Joe, because it really is an inside-out journey as opposed to, I think, our society. It's always been outside-in.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Joe, Dr. Joe Vitale, thank you so much. What an inspiring conversation with you.
This is a great energy, great questions. And you really raised the vibration. You know, when you got on the call and you told me that you were already doing fantastic and you are the happiest person around, my energy went up even more. My energy wasn't down. So you are doing wonderful things for me and for your audience. So thank you for that. And thank you for including me. It's flattering, and Godspeed to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. And Joe has a special gift for all our listeners. If you go to attractmoneynow.com, you will get a copy of his book, Attract Money Now, 7-Step Formula to Attract That Money. So again, that was a very generous gift. Thank you so very much, Joe.
You are welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Until next time, remember, you have the power to change your life.